For I've had enough of this world and its pleasures. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Father. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah, house of my Yah.
Shalom, and welcome to today's teaching on the Hebraic roots of Christianity, where we study first century Christianity and the faith that Jesus, whose Hebrew name is Yeshua, which means salvation, taught his disciples. And now, Hebraic roots teacher Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries International.
Shalom. I'm Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and we welcome you to today's teaching on the subject, Hebraic Bible Prophecy. This is part two of the series. After Yeshua was resurrected, we're told in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3 that he was 40 days teaching after his resurrection. It says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. And this is his sermon topic, and he spent 40 days doing it, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Do you think that what Yeshua had to share after he was resurrected would be important? Well, he spent 40 days doing it, and his topic was that kingdom, the kingdom of God. Do you know we're not told here in the book of Acts the details of what he said in those 40 days? We are only told one question of his 40-day topic, and the question is found in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. So I'd like to submit to you this question is very important, because that's the only thing we're told about what he said after he was resurrected. Acts 1, 6, when they therefore were coming together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Do you realize you can't restore something unless it once was, but it's not? Then you want to bring it back to how it was? So what was? We had David ruling over 12 tribes of Israel, but through sin, they were scattered into the nations of the world, and it's the role of the Messiah to forgive them of their sins and to restore them, bring them back to the land of Israel, and rule and reign over them, he being the king of Israel. So his topic for 40 days after his resurrection was the restoration of the kingdom to Israel. Why was that his topic? Because that is what makes him the Messiah. It's the Messiah who accomplishes that task. This restoration, the fullness of the restoration, takes place in messianic times. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 3. For lo, the days come, says the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah. Do you see the word and? You know what the word and means? It means it more than one entity. And so it's not just Judah or the Jewish people, but Israel and Judah, all 12 tribes. And I'm going to cause them to return to the land that I gave their fathers, and they will possess it. So the subject is Israel and Judah returning to the land. And speaking about Israel and Judah returning to the land, this is what it says about that time when it happens. Jeremiah 30 verse 7. Alas, for that day is great and it's none like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. So Jacob's trouble, or what we call the tribulation, is the period set aside in biblical prophecy for the reunification of the 12 tribes of Israel back to the land of Israel. This is the task and function of the Messiah, and it's why the Messiah died on the tree. Now Yeshua gives an answer to this question. But you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You know, this is a very popular verse in Pentecostal Christianity. You're going to receive power, but it's taken out of context of what the power is for. The power is for being a witness of the restoration of the kingdom to Israel, witnessing that Messiah died on the tree to gather the 12 tribes of Israel from all the lands where they've been scattered and bring them back to the land of Israel. That's the purpose of the empowering. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea,
Judea and Samaria, that's called today the West Bank by the Western world, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Why to the uttermost parts of the earth? Because the exiles were scattered to the four corners or the uttermost parts of the earth. Now there's a prophecy in Jeremiah about how this process is going to happen. And Jeremiah explains in Jeremiah chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, that the God of Israel is going to send out fishers to the exiles to fish for them and to cause them to return. The Lord lives that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he has driven them, and I will bring them again into their land that I gave to their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishers, says the Lord, and they will fish them. So in order to fulfill this prophecy about how the exiles are going to hear who the Messiah is and believe in the Messiah, the prophecy says that fishers are going to be sent for the exiles of Israel. Therefore, what is a disciple of the Messiah going to be discipled to do? To gather the exiles. That's why Yeshua said in Mark chapter 1, verse 17, come after me and I will make you fishers of men. Now, if you read this in English, you know how you translate in your mind and read in your mind men? All of mankind. Well, that is true, but the specific reference is to the exiles of Israel. And this is written in a way that unless you understand Hebrew and the prophets, you won't understand the direct meaning of fishers of men and who men are. And so we're going to look at that. But first, let's see again how when Yeshua called his disciples, he told them, I'm going to train you to be a fisher of men. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. And Yeshua, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishers. You see, the sea represents the nations of the world where the exiles were scattered. And casting a net in the sea is a prophetic allusion that they were going to go out and fish for them. You see, what he's doing in the natural is a prophecy of what he's going to be doing for spiritual application. And so Yeshua said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. In the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 34, verse 31, as well as Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 10, in the Hebrew, the nation of Israel are called men, or the Hebrew word is Adam. The nation of Israel itself, in Ezekiel 34, verse 31, in Ezekiel 36, verse 10, in the Hebrew, they are called men or Adam. So when Yeshua said, I'll make you fishers of men, going back to Ezekiel 34, where there's a reference to the good shepherd gathering the exiles of Israel, the men who are to be gathered are the exiles of Israel. But the same prophecy in Jeremiah says, after the God of Israel sends fishers to the exiles, he will then have hunters go after them. You know why the hunters need to come? Because while the fishermen catch fish, they don't catch all the fish that's in the sea. And the God of Israel wants the exiles to return. They want them to repent. And the preferred way to repent is to hear the good news and to receive it. However, sometimes we only repent when we have greater sufferings and persecution. That's the purpose of the hunters, is to get our attention to ask, what is the problem? So we will repent if we don't repent through the message of the fishermen. And so in Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 16, it says, I will send for many fishers, says the Lord, and they will fish them. And after I will send for many hunters. You know who the hunters are in the end of days that's sent to gather the exiles of Israel? It's mainly Islam and those who standing and representing Islam, like bin Laden and Mahmoud Abbas and the leader of Iran, who is voicing strong opposition against the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But we need to biblically define who a hunter is. In Genesis chapter 25, verse 27, it says, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter. Esau is called a hunter. So the end time battle is between Jacob and Esau is a hunter. In Matthew chapter 11, Yeshua was asked, are you the Messiah, or should we look for someone else to be the Messiah? It came to pass when Yeshua had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said, are you he that should come? Are you the Messiah? Or should we look for another? So the answer that Yeshua has got to give is his claim that he's the Messiah. What answer does he give? Why does he say he's the Messiah? So So Yeshua answered and said, go and show John again those things you do hear and see. Now here's his answer of why he's the Messiah. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he whosoever that will not be offended in me. What we're going to do is we're going to let the Bible define the Bible. We're going to see who are the blind, the lame, the lepers, the deaf, and the dead that need raised up. Who are the poor? Who are those that need the gospel preached to them? And what we're going to be seeing is those are all terms that describe the exiles of Israel and their condition in being scattered in the nations of the earth. So his answer is, I'm the one who gathers the exiles of Israel. And he adds to that, blessed is he whosoever that will not be offended in me. Why does he add, blessed is he that's not offended in me? Because many are offended that Yeshua died on the tree to gather the exiles of Israel. You know, if you present this message in a traditional church, you know most likely what their response will be if they don't take the time to listen. Oh, that's not important. That's not important that he died to gather the exiles of Israel. No. He died to forgive us of our sins. Just believe that he's the Messiah and repent of your sins so you can go to heaven. That's what's important. The other part is not important, but let me share with you that it is, and that part of him gathering a people and forgiving them of their sins, you are a part of that gathering. So you are a part of this prophecy, and you need to understand how you're a part of that prophecy. Most in the church will not take the time to listen because they believe they already know and they already understand. So the God of Israel has to get the attention of his people. And you know how he's got to get the attention of his people? It's called the tribulation. It's called the hunters. So let's look at biblical terms which describe the exiles of Israel. The exiles of Israel are referred to as being deaf and blind. Isaiah 42, verses 18 and 19 and verse 24, it is written, hear ye deaf and look ye blind that you may see. Who is blind but my servant? You know, we often preach that it's some that doesn't believe that Yeshua is the Messiah is blind, but he's saying the blind one is his servant, or deaf as my messenger that I send. The one that's being sent to proclaim the name of the God of Israel in Yeshua is being said is the one that's deaf. So who is blind is he that is perfect and as blind as the Lord's servant? Who gave Jacob for a spoil in Israel to the robbers? That's the nations of the world that rule over the nation of Israel in their exile. Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law or unto his Torah. So by being not obedient to the Torah or the law, the God of Israel refers to his people as blind and deaf. The exiles of Israel are referred to as being blind and lame. Jeremiah 31, verses 7 and 8. For thus says the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Saving the remnant of Israel is him gathering his people from the nations where they've been scattered during the time of great tribulation when the hunters are coming after them. And notice what it says regarding this task. It says, shout. Shout it among the nations, publish it, and praise ye, and say and declare this message. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the women with child, and her that travails with child together, and a great company shall return thither. The exiles of Israel are regarded as being poor and afflicted. Isaiah 49, verses 13 and 14. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people. He will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion says, the Lord has forgotten me, and my Lord has forgotten me. We can see from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2 and verse 14, that the exiles of Israel are regarded as being poor and afflicted. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. So we are told here that the glory of the Lord is going to rise upon his people when? For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. You know what we call gross darkness covering the earth? The tribulation period. It's during the tribulation that his glory will rise upon his people. Why? Because that's when he gathers the exiles of Israel. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you, and the sons also of them that afflicted you shall come bending unto you, and all they that despised you shall bow themselves down at the soles of your feet, and they will will call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. So those who's persecuting and coming against the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that prophecy says they will bow their knee to those who are standing with the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We can see how the exiles of Israel are poor and afflicted from Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 12, 14, and 20, as it is written. And I will leave in the midst of you an afflicted and poor people, and they will trust in the name of the Lord. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you. I will make you a name and a praise among all people on the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, says the Lord. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 17, we're told that the exiles of Israel are likened unto the uncleanness of a removed woman, as it is written. Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Remember in the scripture, the woman with the issue of blood that touched the hem of Yeshua's garment and she was healed? Her status, having an issue of blood, is an allusion to the condition of the exiles of Israel. Ezekiel chapter 37, the exiles of Israel are likened unto being dead and dead bones. Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 3, it is written, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Continuing on, Ezekiel 37, verses 4 and 5, and verse 11, it is written, again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you will live. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Who's the whole house of Israel? All 12 tribes. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, because we are cut off from our parts. Notice, when they're cut off from their parts, when northern kingdom is separated from southern kingdom, that their hope is lost. When they come together, they have hope. Why? Because the regathering is associated with the Messiah ruling and reigning over them, and their enemies are defeated, and they're coming back to the land of Israel. That's the hope. The Messiah to redeem the exiles of Israel and to set up his kingdom. But as long as the exiles are divided from one another, their hope is lost until that event happens. In being scattered into the nations of the world, the house of Jacob is referred to as near and far off. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 46. If they sin against you, for there's no man that sins not, and you be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy so that they carry them away captive unto the land of their enemy, far or near. Now Daniel chapter 9, verse 7 also tells us that the exiles of Israel are regarded as being far and near. O Lord, righteousness belongs unto you, but unto us confusion of faces, as it is this day, to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, that is the house of Judah, the southern kingdom, or the Jews, and unto all Israel, that's the northern kingdom, that are near and far off through all the countries you've driven them. So it's the men of Judah and Jerusalem that are near in all the countries where they've been scattered. Why? Because we still recognize them today. We call them Jews. But the northern kingdom is far off. We can't identify who they are. They've been assimilated in the nations of the world and lost the understanding that they're from the northern kingdom. Now, Paul used these terms near and far off and said he's brought those who are near and far off and made of the two one by the blood of Yeshua. He's making a reference to the northern kingdom, southern kingdom. The exiles of Israel are regarded as being sold by the God of Israel into the nations. Deuteronomy 32, verse 26 and verse 30, it is written, I said, I would scatter them into the corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? Except their rock had sold them and the Lord shut them up. Who's the rock? It's Jesus. Notice who it is that sent them out in the nations of the world. Jesus. And if he scattered them, he will also regather them. We can see how the exiles of Israel are sold in the nations. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 1, and Isaiah 52, verse 3, as it is written. Thus says the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? But because of your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgression is your mother put away. For thus says the Lord, you have sold yourselves for naught, and you will be redeemed without money. How are they redeemed? By the blood of Yeshua, not with money. And so in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, which says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes unto you. He was just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon a donkey, upon the colt, the foal of a donkey. So we know that Yeshua fulfilled this riding into Jerusalem. But what comes after Zechariah 9:9? A few verses later. We know the context here in Zechariah 9:9 is Yeshua. Zechariah 9, verse 11 and verse 13. As for you also, by the blood of the covenant have I sent forth your prisoners out of the pit wherein there is no water. It's by the blood of the covenant when I have bent Judah for me and filled the bow with Ephraim. You see, the exiles of Israel, Judah and Ephraim, are redeemed by the blood of the covenant. So what is the summary of the terms which describe the exiles of Israel? Deaf, blind, lame, poor, leprous, dry bones, poor and needy, afflicted, sick and wounded, adulterous wife, we didn't cover that one, unclean woman, sold in the nations, the northern kingdom's far off, the southern kingdom is near in their exile. So what then is the gospel? That the blind, that is the exiles of Israel, receive their sight, believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, repent of their sin and follow Torah. That the lame, the exiles of Israel, walk, that is they follow Torah. The lepers, that is the exiles of Israel, are cleansed, their sins are forgiven. The deaf, that is the exiles of Israel here, believe that Yeshua is the Messiah and repent of their sins, follow Torah. The dead, the exiles of Israel, are raised up, they're ingathered from the nations of the world. The poor, the exiles of Israel, have the gospel preached to them, Yeshua is the Messiah, they can have forgiveness of their sins, they will be regathered, and there will be a messianic era, and it's the Messiah or Yeshua who gathers the exiles of Israel. Now, we are told in Luke chapter 1 verse 33 that Yeshua or Jesus, that he rules over the house of Jacob, all 12 tribes. Luke chapter 1 verse 31 and verse 33, it is written, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, call his name Jesus, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. I want you to notice who he rules and reigns over. He rules and reigns over the house of Jacob forever. You know what that means? That means if you are a believer in Yeshua or Jesus as the Messiah, you better be a part of the house of Jacob if he's going to rule over you, because he rules over the house of Jacob forever. Well, before you get too nervous about that, I have good news for you. Whether you realize it or not, when you are a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah, you are a part of the house of Jacob and he's going to rule and reign over you. You need to understand that that's the name of your family. That's the problem. Not that you're in the house of Messiah, because by accepting him, whether you know the name of your family or not, you're in him when you receive him. But in order to understand the end of days, you need to know the name of your family. So that's what we need to cover next. We are told in Exodus chapter 19, verse 3, that those who are at Mount Sinai is the house of Jacob. Now, those at Mount Sinai are the literal house of Jacob. Those who Yeshua or Jesus rules and reigns over is the redeemed, or we call in Christianity the saved, house of Jacob. And so who is the house of Jacob? When we think of the house of Jacob, we're either going to think of it as Judaism, or the fact that it's Yeshua that rules and reigns over the house of Jacob. Believers in Yeshua is regarded as Christianity.
Well, that's going to conclude part two of the series on the subject, Hebraic Bible Prophecy. Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
Thank you, Eddie. This is Stephen Morgan, and all of us here at Hebraic Heritage Ministries pray that you have enjoyed today's teaching. If you've been blessed, will you help us to share this message with others? Hebraic Heritage Ministries is supported by your generous financial gifts. In order to help you in your studies and to help us share this message with others, we are offering today the DVD, Yeshua the Lawgiver, for free for a love gift of any amount to the ministry. Hebraic Heritage Ministries also offers a monthly discipleship program. If you are interested in starting a fellowship group in your area, let us know. We would like to help you. Please contact us for more details. Our website is hebroots.org. That's hebroots.org. We would like to hear from you. Please send us an email. Finally, in order to take advantage of today's free offer, please mention this product offer and please mail your love gift to Hebraic Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 81, Strasburg, that's Strasburg, Ohio, 44680. Until next time, may Yeshua richly bless you.